Me in your Bibles this afternoon. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians and chapter 5. And Lord willing, we will conclude this fifth chapter this afternoon. Looking at the last three verses of the chapter, beginning in verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. For this cause, well, you know by now, being a student of the Word of God, that this refers us back to what was previously said and immediately what was spoken of last week. For we, the Ephesian members, we, members of Grace Baptist Church, for we are members of His body. Whether you be members of the Ephesian Church or whether you're members of the Grace Baptist Church Melbourne or the Faith Baptist Church Wasion or Trinity Baptist Church Richmond, you're members of His body. One body. This is one body, Melbourne, Florida. The church here is one body. The church at Richmond, Kentucky is one body. The church at Wasion, Ohio is one body. With Christ as the head. So we're members of His body, being members of this kind of church. We're members of His body, His flesh, and of His bones. Cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Note the word joined there. It means like cleave. In other places, it's translated cleave, even in the Greek New Testament, as well as the Hebrew Old Testament. It means cleave. It means stick together. It means glued together. It means bonded together. That's our point on this verse this afternoon. Glued together or bonded together as one. Just as verse 30 is talking about one body at Ephesus, one body in Melbourne, Florida. So husband and wife are to become one body, bonded together. As one. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. And all of these thoughts passed through the past several weeks are very important thoughts. They're something that is largely not practiced, forgotten about, thought to be not necessary in our day and time, and husbands and wives have gone off to go their own way and seek their own thing, and so we end up with homes that are in disarray. What we would use today is dysfunctional, because the husband and wife are not bonded together, they're not glued together, and we'll get into that more as we go on. Here Adam said, after God presented his wife to him, in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. I've, over the years, was been accused of being a mama's boy. I was more comfortable with my mother. As a teenager growing up, and could talk to her and so forth, and still I carry that honor, that respect for her to this day, and I'm so thankful to God that here in another month, a little over a month, my mother will be 90 years old, and I still have her with me. Lord saw fit to take my father a little over 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago now. And I was thankful to have him until he was 85 years of age. But that was in his hand and in his providence. But notice, and shall cleave unto his wife. It is the Hebrew counterpart to what we read there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31, joined, cleave to his wife. They shall stick together like glue. He shall be glued to his wife. Most women today would say, oh, help me. Can't get some kind of reprieve from him. Well, the thought is that he leaves father and mother's home. He is no longer under his father and mother's tutelage. He has set out to build his own home, his own family, but still be part of his father's family, because his offspring will be the offspring of his father before him. But he is no longer guided by his father and mother. That's not a correct, probably a correct word. He's not obligated to obey them, only as he obeys the thoughts and principles which he was taught while under their home, when he is to carry that with him. We'll get into that probably next week as we begin the sixth chapter. Is love for his parents does not end. And to join in on chapter 6, his responsibility to honor his parents is to still go with them. He is to honor his parents. But the love for his wife is a different love than what he has for mother and father. And the love which he has for his wife is to transcend all other relationships. It is to be greater, to be deeper. It is to, she is now part of him. Literally, she is now part of his body. Genesis 2:24. Ephesians 5:31. And they two shall be one flesh. The love between husband and wife is to produce a oneness. As we think of this thought of cleaving, this thought of being joined, being bonded together as one, it is to produce in that union, it is to produce a oneness. Just as though they were glued together. As they become one flesh. To produce a oneness. You see, their whole purpose and thought ought to be to produce for this family that they are now starting, this family that they have embarked upon, is to be for the good. Of that home. Children of God blesses and children are added to that relationship. Their whole care and focus is to be for the oneness that they present a unified front, a oneness. And that is something that is lacking in homes today. I've seen it. In some of my children, a lack of a unified front on the behalf. If we could get this thought and this principle into our mind, that what we do as husbands and wives, husbands loving the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, wives sitting to their husband, it is all for the oneness and the unified front that is to be presented to our children. Uh-oh, we said our children. Do you know they're not your children? We say they're ours. But really, turn with me to the book of Psalms. And I'll give you a passage of scripture here to think about and to drive this home. Psalms 127. And you've all probably quoted this at a time or two, but do you know what it means? Verse 3, lo, behold, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are an heritage of the Lord. That word heritage, it goes to inheritance, it goes to property. Our children are the property of the Lord. And yes, it is a reward of sorts to us to have them entrusted to our care, have them entrusted for our upbringing. Does that shed any light on the responsibility that is placed on parents when you come to grasp with the idea that they are the Lord's and He's given them to you, lent them to you, to bring them up? We'll get into this in the sixth chapter. To bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To bring them up to fear the Lord. And to walk in His path. And husband and wives can only present a unified front, a oneness, as the husband is loving the wife, as Christ loved the church, and as the wife is submitting to her husband, and that's all working together and trickling down to the children, that they might see that oneness. They might see that unified front. That is what it's talking about. That is what part of what is involved in this cleaving unto, this being bonded unto your wife. As one flesh, we have one purpose, we have one goal in mind, and that is to honor and glorify God in all that we say and do. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll be looking at this passage of Scripture as we get into the sixth chapter, even more. Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, masters, on and on. And whatsoever ye do, verse 23, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That is what we're to be doing, husbands and wives, and with our children and everything, is to do it as heartily, well-pleasing unto the Lord, that we might be well-pleasing unto the Lord in everything. And that is the unified front. That is the oneness that we are to be working towards, husband and wife, and training our children to be such also. Another thought along this line, with me to Matthew and Chapter 5, the thought that husband and wife are to be bonded together as one. With that thought in mind, husband and wives bonded together as one flesh. Look what we read in Matthew 5 and verse 32. But I say unto you, that is, he present what is hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say, I, Jesus Christ, say, doesn't matter what others have said, what does Jesus say? That whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, husband causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. You see, her and her husband are one. She's now become part of him, his body. He's to love her as his own body. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at that. And so, they're not to be separated, and they're not to be divorced, according to Christ's words. Look with me to the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 7. In verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man or woman as long as he or she liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound. They're bonded together. And she's bound by that law of matrimony, that law of marriage, which is cleaving together, being bonded together as one flesh. Would you divide your flesh? Men have been divided. Men have been sawed asunder. But would you divide your flesh? You should be bonded to your wife. Your wife should be bonded to your husband as one flesh. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. As long as he or she is alive, the law is in effect. But if the husband or wife be dead, she or he is loose from the law of her husband or wife. The law no more has application to the situation. God divided you. God separated you by his will and purpose. And so you're no longer under the law, he said. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. And look at verse 10 here. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Works both ways. Husbands and wives are not to put one another away. That's dividing the one flesh. And it's not within your power to divide the one flesh. That is in the hand of God and God Almighty. Now, look with me at what he said to those Pharisees that came and trying to trap him. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we'll read verses 1 through 12 here. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. That was the goal of the Pharisees. Tempt him, get him to say something that was contrary to the law, contrary to Scripture, that they might accuse him. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? No, they put a lot of importance upon Moses, the book of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He said, Moses suffered, Moses allowed to write a bill of divorce and to put her away. Put her out. Send her on her way. Jesus' response to that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Because you are hard-hearted and rebellious and insisting to do it, Moses allowed the precept. But from the beginning, Adam and Eve, it was not so. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, Genesis 2:24. And they two, shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let not man divide that one flesh. And in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. That is what Jesus said. That is the way it was from the beginning. From the beginning of creation, man shall be joined unto his wife, cleave unto his wife, be bonded unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. It's the same likewise with a man. A man who loves the Lord Jesus Christ because a work of grace has been performed in heart, soul, mind. And he loves Christ. He loves Christ above everything else, above all else. And so he leaves the world, loves Christ, church, and joins a local Testament Baptist church and becomes one with that body, the body of Christ. If you look at, take you back to a verse of scripture that ought to be familiar to you now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 20. Verse 19 says, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." So a man loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves him above everything else, unites with, maybe through the waters of baptism, verse 13, led by the Holy Spirit of God. He's been had a work of grace done on him, and he's led by the Spirit of God to be baptized into that assembly, that one body, and he now, according to verse 20, becomes one with that body as well. And see, and so husband wise likewise. And so we come down to our next verse. Verse 32, fifth chapter. This is a great mystery. A great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Well, the apostle, the writer of this letter to the Ephesians, under inspiration, he was led by the Holy Spirit of God to write this letter to the Ephesian saints, the church at Ephesus. He spoke of this mystery earlier in his writing to them. And if they hadn't gotten it by now, didn't know it by now, he reveals to them what that mystery was here in verse 32 for sure. He's speaking concerning the church. The church is that. Turn with me back to the third chapter. The third chapter of Ephesians. And look with me here, verses 2 to 9, where he mentions this. "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." The mystery. If you remember when we taught on this, the mystery was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I wrote afore in few words, "whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." The Old Testament saints didn't see the church, didn't see the church and Jew and Gentile being together one in that body that we're talking about, that one body of Christ. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." It was hid from creation until the day that the Lord Jesus Christ established it, gave that truth to his apostles, and revealed to Paul to make known, in a broader sense even, to the Gentiles as well, the mystery of God. Also, then he closed out that third chapter. Unto him, unto God, be glory in the church, Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Makes it pretty plain there what that mystery is he's talking about. He's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the place that he is to get glory throughout all ages, world without end. So, it is obvious from chapter 3 and chapter 5 that he's talking about the church, especially as he revealed it there to us in verse 32. It's a great mystery. Mystery to many people and individuals. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And now he makes it very clear to us that using the husband-wife relationship is compared to the relationship that Christ has with his church. The husband and wife is to mirror that in their relationship with one another. All through our text here in this fifth chapter, from verse 21 down, he has been making the comparison of the wife to the church and the husband to Christ. The relationship of a loving husband and a submissive wife is a picture of the relationship that exists between church and Christ, between bride and groom. Now, the conclusion in verse 33. He says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, as his own body. And the wife see that she reverence her husband, that she in reverential fear and submission to her husband. That every one of you, according to the manner, just as Christ loves the church, and as the church is to submit to Christ, let him love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see to it that she reverence him, that she, as the church does, submits to Christ, see that she defers to or submits or reverence or reverentially obeys him. All those are true of that word. Turn with me in closing to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Are you the elect of God? Has it been manifested to you that you are? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which a husband is to have for his wife, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit. Are you the elect of God? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, are you the elect of God? Love your wives and be not bitter against them. That is the word of God. Christ loved his church, his bride. And he gave himself specifically and in a special way for her. And she reverentially obeys him, submits to him. That is our care. That is our concern as a church, is that we do the will of God, that we obey him in all things. As verse 17 said. And so, husbands and wives, are you the elect of God? Especially as the elect of God. Husbands, you're to love your wife as your own body. And wives, you're to submit to your husbands. A unified front to accomplish that one goal, to be pleasing to God in all things. Shall we stand together, be dismissed in a word of prayer.